This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 165 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by West Coaster Marcus Couch. And Marcus, what's happening over there on the West Coast today?
Oh, your usual 90-degree day here in October. But otherwise, boy, a lot of client projects rolling through this week, kicking off the fourth quarter right. A little bit of WordPress news, and you and I are just going to kind of discuss the state of the scene today.
Yes, our own minified version of the state of the word.
Right.
A little bit like that. So this... as we mentioned last week, this past weekend had five WordPress conferences that took place. WordCamp Tampa, the Prestige Conference. There was Pods Camp, which was the day before WordCamp Dallas. And then the one I attended was WordCamp Ann Arbor in Michigan, near the University of Michigan campus. And it was $12 to attend. Incredibly affordable.
It was lunch.
Lunch was, well, this is one of the, this is like the first WordCamp I've ever been to where lunch was not included in the ticket. So what they ended up doing was, lunch was an hour and a half, and everybody ended up getting in these little groups, and it was on the university. It was near down, it was in downtown Ann Arbor, so Main Street was just a few blocks away, so it was like exercise, and you had an hour and a half to go find a little restaurant, which there are plenty down on Main Street, and it was nice. I hung out with a group of 10 people. We all chose a certain restaurant because the one everybody was going to, everybody couldn't fit. A lot of these restaurants on Main Street were small in nature where you couldn't handle, you know, more than 10 people per table, because it sort of allowed the 150 attendees at the event to sort of spread out into groups of 8 or 10. And depending on which groups you were in, sort of enabled a unique networking opportunity for about an hour and a half. So that was neat. The event itself was a first time event organized by Ross Johnson with a great team of organizers. And one thing that was pretty cool, one of the first sessions that I attended for this event, it was called How to Rock a WordCamp if you're a total, even if you're a total new. It was by Mark Benzekine of ServerPress, and I just thought it was a great session to start off a WordCamp. And I would like to see more WordCamps, especially those out for the first time in the area, have a presentation like this at the beginning, because what it did is it broke the ice. It sets up realistic expectations to those in the audience who've maybe never been to a WordCamp before. And it sort of gives you some great advice, you know, simple things like don't be afraid of just leaving a session if things go over your head and moving to somewhere else, or just don't be afraid to skip a session or two in order to either network and meet new people or to digest the information you took in. It, you know, depending on the tracks and the information, it's very easy to get overloaded, if to feel inundated with these WordCamps, and depending on how you go about it, can make or break your experience.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to get orientated to any event that you go to. So I applaud that. That's pretty cool. And was it a full session, a full 45-minute session?
No, actually, it turns out he had 12 steps. Mark had 12 steps, went through his slides and went through his own experiences rather quickly. So it was about a half hour long. The session was about the allotted time, I think, was either 45 minutes or an hour. So it did provide an opportunity for people to ask questions. The room that we were in for the session was filled up, so I was happy to see that. Mark's son was there. Mark has a very young son, brought him along, and He was pretty cool. He helped break the ice. He was doing commentary and asking his father questions, and he sort of just lightened the mood in the room. So I was kind of joking, saying that if he were to have a WordPress.org profile, I'd like to see him get the speaker's badge, you know, because he helped out his dad so much on his profile. I just think that'd be pretty neat.
We can check with Andrea on this. I wonder who the youngest WordPress speaker is.
Now, off the top of my head, I would say Nick of Tech Vaults. We had him on the show a few months ago. But I may be wrong on that, especially if you take into account global WordCamps that have happened all over the world.
Wow, that's true.
Maybe I'll ping her after the show, and then we'll find out, and then we'll have that information on the next show.
Yeah, something to shoot for the youngsters out there.
So then I learned about child themes and theme frameworks, which was a neat topic. And then my favorite session of the day was by Rebecca Gill, and it was called Be the Peacock, Creating and Loving Your Online Brand. Now, the idea behind her presentation is that the peacock has beautiful, vibrant colors, and the peacock struts them. You know, it walks around and says, hey, look at me, look at my colors. And likewise, as individuals, you need to stand out, and you need to make themselves and their brand distinguishable. So in the presentation, she tells the story of how she was once a shy individual, afraid to strut her colors, and diagnosed with something that I don't know if you have experience with this, but I know I do, but it's something called imposter syndrome. And after receiving a pep talk from Chris Lemma, she embraced her inner peacock. And that's just anyone who's had an opportunity to interact with Chris Lemma in person knows that he has this way of selling you to you. I mean, he just sort of gives you a perspective that maybe you haven't thought of before, and he's like your personal cheerleader almost, you know, with encouragement and saying, hey, look at what you got. Embrace those qualities you have and strut them and make the best of them. You know, and I've personally, I seem to have symptoms of this imposter syndrome where things like people praise me, and the first thing I do is not accept the praise and say, yes, I know, I did a good job, put a lot of effort in it. The first thing I do is deflect the praise to someone or something else. Like, nah, it wasn't my hard work that did that. It was probably right. Happenstance or chance. And there's, you know, I'm always putting myself down, and I'm always wondering if I'm good enough and all this other stuff. And that's all what imposter syndrome is. But thanks to her presentation and watching the Chris Lemma presentation as well, which is available on WordPress.tv when he did it at WordCamp Phoenix on imposter syndrome, I'm slowly but surely changing my attitude and recognizing before it happens symptoms of the imposter syndrome. So I'm starting to, you know, embrace the fact that, yeah, the reason why all this work is done is because I did it. I worked hard. It wasn't because of anything else. It wasn't because the stars aligned. It's because I worked hard. And I'm starting to embrace those things. And Marcus, I don't know. I mean, are you familiar with the imposter syndrome?
I am. And, you know, I get the same. You know, when I started to review plugins, I had the same thing, you know, oh my God, the developers out there are going to eat me alive as far as what I think of it or things like that. But eventually, you know, when you're 1,000 plugins in, or in your case, 1,000 blog posts in or something like that, I think a little switch kind of clicks that says maybe I am becoming the expert that I thought I was initially. So I think that holds true for you. You're one of the best community guys in the entire WordPress, you know, community, and that's a community of millions. And Chris Lemma, same thing. He's my WordPress Yoda, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, he is the wisdom up on high. You know, I mean, it's like going up the mountain to meet the Sherpa and getting that brief inflection of wisdom, you know, dispelled upon you. It's great. It's amazing the community that we've built here. So, you know, I hope that you will start to take some of those compliments even further because they're deserved. And I know how to take a compliment. Heck, tell me how great I am, Jeff. Come on.
Here's the idea: be the peacock, and from now on, I am gonna be the peacock.
Yeah.
So just a cool way of looking at that. So this was the first time Ross Johnson organized the event for Ann Arbor. It went off smoothly. Wi-Fi was great. The food gave us a chance to exercise without it being catered there at the event. There will be a WordCamp Ann Arbor. They're already working on it for 2015. So if you're in the area, whether it's Detroit, Toledo, Ohio, Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, keep an eye out because it's one of the it's definitely an event you should consider going to. And what this did is, with it being around 150 attendees, it reaffirmed my feelings of really appreciating or having a better time at these smaller WordCamps versus those that have 400 or 500 attendees. It was just great. It was a relaxed atmosphere. You didn't feel rushed. And you could, if I wanted to, I probably could have met every single attendee there during the day. Of course, I didn't do that, but it was nice having that option. It was nice not running into 200 people as you're trying to get to the next session, like during classes at high school.
Yeah. It seems like it was just a really big meetup group, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's pretty much what it is, with sessions involved. So that's pretty much what it was. Nice. So really, really cool. Hats off to Rash Johnson and his entire organizing team for putting on a great event for a first-time WordCamp. So one of the hot topics of debate after WordCamp Europe was that Matt had made a statement about 5%, 5 for the future of WordPress, and 5% being a goal to try and for WordPress organizations to try and give back at least 5% of to avoid the tragedy of commons. So the post sort of ignited a healthy discussion about a lot of things, but the one thing I thought of is, well, how about WordPress contribution? So I started thinking, well, what is a WordPress contribution? And I came to the conclusion that there are, and this is just my take on it, there are two different forms of contributions. There are direct, which are those that directly impact people, such as code, commits, the WordPress core. And then there are indirect, which are things like meetups, WordCamps, tech support, helping your friend out with a WordPress plugin or fixing the CSS on their website. So there's two different ways or two different types of contributions. And I was thinking about the 5% goal and whether I personally meet that criteria. And then I had an epiphany in that thousands of people likely contribute to WordPress every day without even realizing it. So Marcus, when you think about this, when you think about just that line of thought, thousands of people likely contribute to WordPress every day without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
What does that make you think of? What's the first thing you think of? What are some examples that come to your mind where someone could be involved with WordPress or doing something, and then in the background, unbeknownst to them, they're actually contributing to WordPress. They're furthering the project.
Bug reporting, logs, things like that.
Exactly. So I have a couple on here. Like, a friend emails you, needs WordPress support. You help fix their problem. You contributed to WordPress indirectly. Someone needs a particular plugin to fulfill a need, and you offer a suggestion that works. That's also contributing to WordPress. Or you're at a local meetup, help someone figure out how to use a particular feature in WordPress. That's another sort of indirect way of contributing to WordPress. So while all these, it seems it probably happens thousands of times a day, you know, with people all over the world, 23% of the web using WordPress, that people are contributing to WordPress without even realizing it probably. So I just thought it was a really cool way of thinking about WordPress contributions as a whole. Again, and when it comes back to actually contributing to WordPress in the 5%, you have to think about impact of those contributions. So there are some people who might spend 5% or contribute 5% of their time to WordPress and not have a big impact, and there are those who maybe might spend 1% and have a bigger impact with their contributions than the 5%. So impact kind of comes into this as well, and then the value of those contributions. And Marcus, I got to say that after all these years of being involved in WordPress in the community, we have this, there is this notion that all contributions, no matter how big or how small, are sort of on this equal level playing field. And I think that's great to have on the surface, but, you know, really, WordPress is code. And if there are not individuals and volunteers that are contributing to WordPress through patches, through fixes, through spending time committing those fixes to the core,
that directly impact people, I sort of have a feeling that all the other contributions, which are mostly indirect, are off, you know, are become a moot point. Because if you don't have the continuation or the enhancement of WordPress, the code by these people, then what do you have? I mean, then WordPress stops. You end up having this slowdown in momentum. You know, all these other indirect contributions sort of become a moot point.
What do you have? Joomla. That's what you got.
Oh, come on now.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, there we go. That's a good reaction. So yeah, looking at the whole topic of contributing back to WordPress, you know, it just makes sense. If you're a business, if you're a company, if you're an agency, if you make a living, you put food on the table with WordPress. Why not? It is in your best interest to contribute back to ensure that WordPress has a future, and it will be there tomorrow, the next day, the next year, hopefully the next 5 years. I mean, because it brings. It's the way you make a living. It's your income. So I think it just makes sense. Now, you don't have to – it's not a requirement for you to contribute back. I just think it makes sense, especially if you're making your living, you know, through and off of WordPress.
Yeah, and there needs to be more prominence as far as the contributor badge, I guess, recognition, whatever you want to call it, much like how Google has the – Google Partners badge, maybe the agencies and things like that should have some sort of a contributors little plaque they can put on their site or something like that. Show that they care. They give a crap about WordPress and they're going to contribute and use some of their resources to do so.
So I think in that vein, I think, well, we have the WordPress.org user profiles with the badges, and the badges are there to show contributions from various parts of the WordPress project, directly and indirectly, such as being a speaker at a WordCamp. You have a speaker's badge that says, hey, look, I spoke at a WordCamp. Or you're the developer of a plugin, so you have a plugin badge. So that's neat. And you also get to see their activity on track and on the latest commits to the plugin repo if they have a plugin. So I think at some point in the future, it'd be cool if maybe there's an API that's opened up. I don't know if this already exists, but or even a plugin that shows hooks into your WordPress.org profile and shows that as either a badge or a widget. So it displays your contributions or it displays your badges that you have on your WordPress.org profile right there on your website.
Nice. Whoever makes that, I'll give you $100.
Sold. You heard it here first. Yes.
No, I'm serious. You know, that's I will pay $100 bounty for anyone who wants to make that.
I mean, for you to contribute back to WordPress, I mean, just for
I just contributed $100 right there.
Just for employment's sake.
Yeah, I don't mean like make it for me to sell. No, make it to put it on the repository. I'll give you $100 reward.
Well, there you have it, folks. He's willing to put $100 out there for you.
That's right.
To anyone. That'd be really cool. I wonder why. And I think the reason why somebody hasn't done it yet is because there's not an API or that stuff's not open yet. But I imagine at some point in the future it probably will be, especially when a lot more work has gone into improving those areas of the profiles and such.
Yeah, and I just invented a pay-per-plugin request on the repository, didn't I?
Oh, great.
Somebody's going to put up $200. Yeah, make me a Facebook plugin that does this, but then it has to get released through the repository. That's cool.
Yes, that is cool. And in fact, that happens more often than you might think with these development agencies where they'll actually put into the cost or into the contract, is it okay if we release this that you are paying for as a contribution to the community as a whole? And many times people will agree to do that. And there's a lot of contributions that happen that way.
Absolutely.
So, Marcus, what can you tell us about the Web Dev Studios acquiring WordPress support services company Maintain?
Look at them absorbing all these companies, Dre and Brad.
Really? So
these guys think they are, these Dradcast guys, just going on. The Bacon guy gets absorbed. When are you and me going to either absorb something or get absorbed? When is that going
to
happen?
I have no option to get absorbed, so you're on your own, buddy.
Oh, darn it.
So Web Dev Studios acquired Maintain for an undisclosed amount. Well, nobody ever knows these amounts. It's always undisclosed. So according to the announcement, the acquisition enables WebDev Studios to provide better maintenance and support to existing clients and new clients. Now, maintain.
Does that mean their support sucked before that? What happened?
No, I don't think their support sucked. But I think what happened was that they contracted with Maintain in early 2014, recognized the kind of company and support infrastructure that Shane Sanderson, the founder of the company, had built. Enjoyed it, liked what they saw, and it was working out so well for them. They said, you know, I think it would be a better fit if we just acquired you and put you into our company. And what it does is Maintain now becomes the sort of retainer section of the company. So they can work on providing all of these support for existing and new clients. And what's nice about this is Maintain was just mainly a support company, but now that they've been acquired by WebDev Studios, people who are customers of Maintain or in that retainer area now have access to the developers of WebDev Studios, which is a nice thing to have. You know, if you need development work done on your website, not just support.
Nice.
So congrats to those.
I applaud those guys for doing that. That's anything that you can do to improve the customer experience is okay in my book.
So congrats to WebDev Studios on the acquisition. And let's see here. So Marcus, I think we've talked about Pagely before. Are you a current customer of them? Have you thought about becoming a customer of Pagely?
Boy, funny timing you're asking on this one. Actually, yes, I've been thinking about it, but there's a number of host options around. One of my current hosts that I use, I just built a client stage site on it, and just to give you the idea of the size of it, I just did a backup of the site this morning, and it was 302 megs, which is by no means a world record breaker, but it's still pretty sizable. And it was so big that I couldn't clone the site back to the stage to actually get client approval on it. So just because of the limitations and the RAM size of the hosting packages and things like that. So, you know, there are a number of managed solutions out there. Pagely is certainly one of them. That are reaching, you know, I think that these guys that are building these dragsters, so to speak, that are just these servers and things that are just built for optimizing WordPress, that's the way to go. And it's more pricey, but for performance, it can't be beat. It really can't.
So speaking of Pagely, 5 years ago, Pagely didn't exist. And 5 years seems like yesterday. I can't believe it's been 5 years since they launched. They were one of the first companies to use this moniker of managed WordPress hosting. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years after they got involved in the business, you started to see other competitors get into the space, and they also named it managed WordPress hosting. So what that did was validate what Pagely was doing at the time. Well, Pagely is celebrating their fifth year of business, and they've gone through an entire rebranding process. So they got a spiffy new logo and a new website. And I was browsing the new website today. I liked their logo, and I was looking at the content of their website. And, you know, to some people, I think it could come across as cocky, but I didn't see it so much as cocky, but more as bold and, hey, we're straight up with you and to the point. And that's how I read the content on their website. And if you get a chance, check out Pagely's .com. And check out their investors page. It's really neat. Basically, it says we have no investors, and if you're thinking about investing in us, contact us so we can tell you no. So that's pretty bold. It's pretty cool. So what that means is they've bootstrapped the company. They're still bootstrapping it, and they've done well over the past 5 years. There's a great article by Brian Krogsgaard on Post Status, which we'll link to in the show notes, where he does a lengthy post covering the 5-year anniversary of Pagely and what they're aiming to do. But the company's experienced record growth. Revenue is up 20% in the last month, and between 40 to 45% quarter over quarter. And the company just keeps on growing. They're just doing really well right now. They're actually hiring for a few different positions. And unlike a lot of other managed WordPress hosting companies, they don't charge for page views or page view overages. So that's a nice addition, because all of these other managed WordPress hosts seem to charge a flat rate for a certain amount of page views, which is, I don't know, what, 25,000 or I don't know how many it is. But if you go over that, let's say you have a really good day, you're going to have to pay an expensive bill. With Pagely, you don't have to worry about that. Now, when I was looking into it, they say that how they handle it is they'll look at the website, and if you have a good month, they'll sort of kind of ignore it, or they'll let it slide a little bit. But if they notice that your traffic is averaging higher and higher and higher, what they'll do is they'll recommend or point out to you that you can buy certain packages or extensions, whether that be data, whether that be space, sort of a la carte. And then the decision is up to the website. And if you don't purchase those a la carte options and you end up being over those overages, you start having overages, then at that point you have to wonder, well, you might have to move to a different host, because you can't go that long without going over the resource allotment that you have without getting into trouble.
Yeah, and then you have to wonder as to why you're getting that much traffic and you're not converting tons of money back in your pocket, that hosting is the least of your problems as far as your expense.
Right. So, Pagely, congrats to Joshua Strebel and his wife and the founders of Pagely. They're just rocking and rolling. They haven't experienced the same insanely fast growth as, let's say, WP Engine, but maybe that was a good thing. But they just continuously are going up and to the right in terms of growth, performance, and even mind perception, mind share. And speaking of that, there's a new website out there by Stephen Glebe called hostingreviews.io, and this is a brand new community-run website. And this thing is awesome because it's a collection of actual customer reviews of different web hosting companies, and there's not an affiliate link to be found on this website. Wow. Just about every other web hosting review website is just chock full of affiliate links, so all the information there is about as good as mud. So this is a really cool website, and at the top here you'll see in the web host that they have listed for far above average, Pagely is number 2 with a 94% overall rating with 17 reviews. And the host, it doesn't surprise me, Flywheel right now is number 1 with 95% overall with 44 reviews. But there's just a lot of great company up there. They have the mindshare. Pagely's just doing really well right now. And I invite everyone to take a look at hostingreviews.io. Really great resource if you're looking for straight-up reviews from customers who have actually used either in the past or currently use the web hosting services without any affiliate links. So there's nothing to be gained by saying a web host is great and anything else. It's real life reviews.
That's very admirable. I'm shocked, quite frankly.
Yeah. Why? Because there's so much money to be made in the web hosting affiliates.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you know, for those that don't know, is a proper affiliate link for a hosting plan can pay the affiliate sometimes $150, even if you just sign up for a $20 a month plan. So there's a big bounty in hosting.
So I don't want to put words into Steven's mouth, but I've had conversations with him, and I think what happened was he just got so fed up with not being able to find concrete, good web hosting information that wasn't tied to some affiliate link. And he just said, hey, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. And that's what he's done. And so far, it's taking off. It's gaining some momentum. And I hope it continues, because this could be a very valuable resource for everyone, not just WordPress, people who are involved in WordPress, but just web hosting the website in general, just to get real customer reviews and experiences on this website without having to worry about, you know, without having to follow a money trail. So just right. a really great resource by Stephen Glib at web hosting or hostingreviews.io, which we'll link to in the show notes. So other than that, Marcus, any other news of the week that you want to bring up before we head into the plug and picks of the week?
Well, I've done a lot of goofing around with a number of different themes and plugins and such, but interesting, I did an experiment just the other day with some hosting, and then I read something that if somebody wants to go, I'll leave the link in my Twitter account, actually, if you want to go follow that. But some practices as far as WP Engine and billing, and one person in particular laid out an entire case as to how WP Engine monitored what constituted a hit or a visit to the site in relation to side-by-side with his Google Analytics account. And the number was staggeringly dissimilar, I should say. Almost 3-to-1 as far as what WP Engine claimed versus what analytics showed. So,
and the reason why that is important is because WP Engine is one of those hosts that mm-hmm. charge, that have plans based on, that have a limit on page views.
Right, right. So that's an interesting thing. I'll leave a link to that in the show notes as well, so somebody can review that. But it's a very long post, and it's obviously somebody who's disgruntled about the service and the service that they received. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt as far as the perspective. But it's pretty interesting to see the jump in bill totals month to month, as you know, and do it, read it as a preventative so that you know what to look for in your own hosting plans and what not to look for.
Yeah, that's been a reason of contention for WP Engine for a long time. I've seen numerous articles, numerous people asking them, hey, what constitutes a hit? How are you guys measuring actual hits to the website if you're limiting this plan by a certain amount of, you know, hits or page views? And as far as I can tell, they haven't been there's nothing where they've been concretely scientific about what is actually a hit. I'm anxious to check out this fellow's article that you linked to, so maybe we can figure it out.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so give us your plug and picks of the week.
Oh, bud, we got some good ones this week. This first one, even though it sounds like something you'd have to go to the DMV for, it is called Duplicate Title Validation. And it looks for posts and pages that have the same name or title, and it prevents you from using the same title twice when you publish. So if you're making a new post and you start typing a title, it actually says, sorry, you've already used this title. So it's not like you're going to use that title again, and then it has that -2 at the end of your slug. So this helps to prevent that. Really nice feature.
That's good, because I was just, as you're reading that, I'm thinking, well, why would you need that? Because WordPress will automatically put the -2. But the whole point of this is to have an entirely unique title without having any -2.
Correct, and you get some SEO value in there as well, because then you're not using duplicate titles within your page.
Right.
And speaking of titles, Jeff, this is one of these face plant, slam your head against the wall things as far as why hasn't this been in core. But this is called Flexible Widget Title. Now, what this lets you do is, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you're like me and you go in the widget area and there's five things stacked up on top of each other that all say text, you know, if you're going to use code. And if you title a widget, then it appears on the front end of your site. That's terrible. And so it makes it so much tougher to identify what's what as far as your widget. Well, now, if you install this plugin, Flexible Widget Title, if you use the title name and put it in brackets, much like what you would do just for a regular short code, then you can see the title in the widget view as far as in the back end, but in the front end, you don't see it. Okay. Now this helps you sort and find all of your widgets right there. This is going to be a standard install for me from now on.
Nice.
Absolutely. Now, this last plugin, I nicknamed this one the Two Bagger.
It looks like a WordPress double almost like the discount double check. It's
it could be. It is called WP Double Protection, and it allows you to put a second password option, thus making your website doubly protected. So it asks you for your first password, and then it says, all right, what's your second password? So it doesn't let you in until you give both those passwords. And I don't know yet. I'm going to check with the developer to see if they're going to have a pro version that might have three passwords.
Ah, geez, I don't know about that. This one sounds like two-factor authentication would be simpler to use than this thing.
Okay, well, I just wanted to use the two-bagger joke.
Jeez, well, boy, I have to change the rating on this show. But, I mean... were you joking? A pro version with three passwords?
Of course I am.
Oh, okay.
This is a ridiculous plugin to begin with.
Well, okay. Thank you very much. Boy, I couldn't tell. You stole that on me.
Yeah, no, it's a simple option if you want to just, you know, maybe a client's not paying on time. You just throw this in there and you make it so that they don't have the second password. But actually, what it does in that instance, if you're just installing it new, the second password for new users or people that haven't established a second password is exactly what their first password is. So it replicates their first password for the second one.
Oh, okay. Well, it just goes to show you there's a plugin that does there's almost every time there's a plugin that does something for you that you need or you know scratches an itch for someone. But I'm going to stick with my two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Instead of using the double bagger on my website.
Yeah. And you know me, I use Clef, so I always take a picture with my phone.
Yes, Clef. I know how you're big into Clef. I mean, I visited the website, and boom, you know, Marcus Couch is right there.
I'm a big fan. I'm not a paid endorser. I got nothing for it. Awesome. Let's see if we can squeeze a free dinner out of Brandon when we get to him.
Awesome. So that wraps up the plugin picks of the week. And hey, next week's guest is Frankie Jarrett, who is the project lead for the Stream plugin. And Marcus and I talked about this, it might have been last week, where the Stream plugin underwent some major changes. It morphed from a plugin into a service, and not everybody is happy about that, particularly how it was done and how it was communicated and what it means for possibly using the plugin in an enterprise environment. So we're going to have Frankie on next week. We're going to talk all about how the Stream plugin morphed into a service. Looking forward to that episode. We're going to get some answers for you.
Yeah. So leave your questions for Frankie and we'll grill him.
You'll grill him. Make sure he's well done.
Yes.
So that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes at wptavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffR0. And Marcus?
You can find me at my all-new improved website, MarcusCouch.com. Just redid it on Monday. And at MarcusCouch on Twitter.
Redid your website again, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh, now you got columns.
Yes.
You Pinterest-fied your website.
That is called a masonry layout.
Oh, yeah, masonry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks just like bricks, masonry bricks. In a good way. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll catch you on the flip side next Wednesday night when we have Frankie Jarrett on. Until then, stay safe.